Today's lessons and today's hymns are about bread and cup, and Jesus sharing in that Passover with his disciples. And in one of my favorite author's books, C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, he talks about God as an architect. And C.S. Lewis says that architects can't be part of the building that they create, except in an indirect way. An architect cannot be a load-building, a load-bearing wall or a beam. They can be unique in how they create a building. There's a sort of flair for Frank Lloyd Wright's kind of buildings that every time you see one, it reminds you of what his gifts and his skills were. But the architect cannot directly be a part of the building. The architect of this sanctuary is not currently part of this building, except in an indirect way. And in the same way, C.S. Lewis says, that's how it is with creation. God doesn't normally enter into creation. God created it. God architected it and made this creation for us, but God isn't a player directly in it. Stuff is. The sun is out there, but God is not the sun. The green grass is out there, but God is not the green grass. We would call it a great mistake if we said that God is the mountains rather than God created the mountains. Yet, in the same way that a particular architect's style can give some of the spirit of the architect, so can the bread and the cup point us in a direction towards God, the master architect of the universe. Something as simple as bread, a commodity that is known the world over, reminds us that God is present the world over. And something as special as wine, which is broken out at parties, but also in many places it is a staple for many meals, reminds us that God provides us with something wonderful, with something that comes from the sweat of our brows, the cultivation of a plant, that comes from some engineering ingenuity and knowing how to ferment grapes and create something that can mark a special occasion or an everyday meal, or the blood of our Lord in the Last Supper. So I wonder how often God's Spirit shows up in our architecture. I wonder how often God's Spirit shows up in our life, our everyday life, and we just miss it because we're too busy. Sometimes it takes the dramatic to sort of shake us and move us around. Kevin Hines, in the year 2000, was 19 years old. He lived in California. He was going through a severe episode of bipolar disorder combined with a psychosis that caused him to hear voices. And the voices told him that he was such a burden to his family that he should kill himself. And he said goodbye to his dad that day and he bought a bus ticket, knowing that this was the last moment he was going to see his father. He was going to see the last person who was going to love him. That was the last moment and he was never going to see him again. And he bought this bus ticket and took him to the Golden Gate Bridge. Since the Golden Gate Bridge has been constructed, there have been over 2,000 suicides jumping off that bridge. Only 1% of people who jump from that bridge survive. People think it's sort of a very easy thing in terms of method for suicide. They sort of think, well, you just fall into the water. It's not. It's a terrible way to go. But Kevin Hines, he was on the bus weeping the whole time, walked out onto the bridge weeping the whole time. He encountered no one that day except for one woman who was a tourist and asked him if she would take his picture against the backdrop, but she didn't know what he was about to do. And Kevin Hines put himself over the rail, and he let go and fell. And in the moment that he fell, he immediately regretted it, which other survivors, and there have been only 36 in the many years since the Golden Gate Bridge was put up in the late 30s. There's only been 36 people that have fallen from the bridge and survived. Many of them report their first instinct after letting go is immediate regret. Takes you 4 seconds to fall the 232 feet and smash into the water at 75 miles an hour. Through some miraculous moment that we're not even really sure why, Kevin Hines went into the water at that speed and remarkably was not torn to bits as most people are. Remarkably did not tear an aorta, did not break ribs. He broke 3 vertebrae in his back and had some other complications. But for what had just happened to him, remarkably, the angle into the water was just correct. He survived. Now, when you hit the water at that speed, you don't know where up is anymore. You're knocked out. You're so confused. You don't know where up or down is. You don't know how to swim. You can't. Your muscles are all messed up from the impact. You don't know where you are going or what you're doing. You're wearing clothes, and that's holding you down in the salt water and the cold of the water. And Kevin Hines did not know what he was doing. And people who witnessed him go over ran to the side of the bridge to look down and see what had happened. And from that distance, they couldn't tell exactly what it was, but something. A sea lion, a dolphin, a porpoise, they're not quite sure. Swam underneath him and buoyed Kevin Hines to the surface. The Coast Guard ran out with their boat to pick up Kevin Hines, expecting this to be another gruesome sight. They're regularly trained in post-traumatic stress disorder issues because of the things they have seen. They don't last very long, the Coast Guard, when people commit suicide in this way. And they pulled him out of the water remarkably in one piece and were amazed that this man was attempting to swim. And they pulled him onto the boat and they got him medical attention, only to have somebody who had beaten them there to the Coast Guard station, a second eyewitness, who had said, "Did you Coast Guard folks see that thing underneath the guy holding him up that saved his life and prevented him from drowning?" I wonder how often we miss God's presence in the architecture of our world. I wonder how often we miss God showing up, God's Spirit, as it's built into the world. I wonder what would have happened if Kevin's father would have known that was the last moment, or that Kevin thought it was going to be the last moment they were ever going to see each other. What he would have said differently to his son, knowing what his son was going to do, what kind of help he would have got him. I wonder what would have happened had that unidentified tourist, had she known who she was asking to take a picture, what would she have done? I wonder what Kevin would have done. He's actually said that if she had asked him something, he probably would have changed his plans. If she had struck up a conversation and asked him more deeply about his life, that he probably wouldn't have gone over the side of the bridge. And I wonder, how did God put that animal, that sea creature, right there at that spot? Right there at that spot to buoy somebody who was drowning, literally drowning. Fortunately, I've never been in a spot where I've been in danger of drowning. But I think we all know what it's like to feel like life is swamping us, is passing over us, and we're getting hit with the wind and the waves, and we're getting carried someplace we don't want to know, and we don't want to go there. Yet I'm convinced that God has worked into the architecture of his creation bread and wine to buoy us, the scriptures to hold us up. God has worked into his creation these wonderful signs of his love and his grace and his compassion to move us on, to move us on, and to bring us safe into the harbor. Amen.